passe à un artiste. Super, encore un but sensationnel. That's a brilliant bit of follow-up play by Mahé. Oh my goodness me, what a shot.
Sagosen. Sagosen setter det hen. Han setter den. De I semifinale igjen.
Handball, huh? How about it? Oh my goodness me. We just came back out of Malmo Arena, where we saw Portugal produce again. Not just produce, but they absolutely stunned the handball world again. With the best performance of the championship? Better than Norway's performances so far? Discuss. They beat Sweden by 10 goals, by the way.
Yeah, difficult to say the best performance, but definitely the most bizarre, the most surprising, the most astonishing, the most, I don't know, I'm running out of words to describe the feeling I'm having right now. Because we're obviously recording this directly after the match as well. So emotions running high here on the Handball Hour.
And I think after the main round group games where we saw five pretty straightforward games, favourites winning, it almost felt like it was just going to continue and Sweden are going to take it. And to bring it all the way back around to Portugal destroying them, just, it didn't feel real.
Yeah, it didn't feel real. Yeah, you said there, the other group games so far, to put a bit of context, to sweep through them here, we had in main round group one, Germany won, Croatia won, Spain won, all leading the way in that group, hunting for the semifinals. All pretty clear games, not too much to talk about right now. It's all happening here in Malmo. We had Slovenia win again, perfect record. Norway win again, perfect record. And Portugal.
Should we just have expected that? Is it not a shock? Is this the sixth straightforward result?
Well, on this show, we're going to get Lubo Ranjas on. Later on, we're going to speak to him, Slovenia coach, who's already shocked the Swedes once at this championship, and he's leading Slovenia to an unbeaten run. First, though, from Portugal, it's our own Dr. Handball, Marcio Menino, who's going to take his Dr. Handball hat off and put his Portuguese heart, not on his sleeve, but all over his body.
Can I tell them what happened?
Sure.
So the game finishes 35-25 to Portugal against Sweden. And I turn to Marcio thinking, oh, Marcio, congratulations. And in the middle of saying congratulations, I realized there are tears running down. I mean, not one or two tears, a lot of tears running down his face. And then I almost welled up a little bit then as well. And I was hoping you'd do it now for us again. And I think you are a little bit, huh?
I don't know what to say. Like, I was speechless. I remember the first game we went against France, and I was shaking at that time. I was swearing before the match ended. Like, all the volunteers around me were laughing at me, and I was just like a pile of nerves, you know? And I was trying to film with my cell phone, and my hands were shaking all. And this match, the game started, and 3 minutes after, I'm bleeding from my nose. So I'm running. No, this is true, and I bled this, and I bled also with friends.
That's right.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
So sweat, blood, and tears.
All of it.
Quite literally.
So I ran to the. I was like, oh, this is not happening. So I ran to the toilet. You know, cleaned myself, put some tissue on my nose, and I came back for the game, and I was looking at it, and I'm like, oh my God, please don't let this escape. Don't let it run away. We're winning by three at the halftime. I was like, we have to win this. We really have to win this. I only need half a goal. We have this expression that came from football that everybody uses. It's like, we just need half a goal. And at the given time, there's like this second half starts, and I start, like, after 10 minutes, I see the game going like five. And I'm hoping that we break the barrier of five. And there's six. At a given time, there's 12. And I look around me, and I see all the Swedish people, you know, like really sad. And I start to feel sad for them because, I don't know, like, I know their position. I've seen Portugal lose by many, like, in all these years. But being at home, 10,000 people in this arena, and you're being smashed.
Mm. It was so good, it was almost rude.
Oh. Yeah. I felt like, no, please stop, guys. Like, I was at a given time, I was telling on Twitter, can we end this match like right now? First of all, because I was afraid that we could go over our heads and actually lose it after winning by 8 or 9 goals. And second, because I was like feeling really bad for them. But it's the thing, like, as soon as the match ends, you feel that pile of emotion that was like inside of you, and you go like, it's done. And you tears. And it's like, ah.
Marcio, we had you on the podcast before in October 2018, after Portugal had won their opening two qualification matches for this tournament against Lithuania and Romania. And this was like, oh my God, Portugal are here. They're finally going to qualify for an EHF Euro.
I was like a kid by the time. I was like, oh my God, we just won against Romania.
And you said to me, it was like, all we need is like a draw. One draw against France, I'll be happy.
Half a point.
Half a point. Half a goal.
From there until now, less than a year and a half later, you've beaten France for the second time, this time in your very first EHF Euro game, like for all of these players. First time in 14 years at an EHF Euro, and you look like you belong. You've just beaten the main hosts in front of 10,000 people, and now you're in the real hunt for a semi-final place. This dream is becoming a reality. Oh, could you even have dreamt it?
Never. I never had such a dream. Can you imagine that? My dream was always like, I just hope we do a great championship and people start recognizing us, you know? Like saying that, okay, there's handball in Portugal. That was my dream. But then you see Champions League matches and you see FC Porto winning against Kiel in Germany, winning against Montpellier in France, and you see Sporting qualifying for the last 16, playing against Veszprém, giving Veszprém a beating, although losing in the end, but giving Veszprém a run, and you feel like, nah, I think this is it. And we got here, and there's people in Trondheim, Norwegians, clapping for us because we're playing like fucking A. I'm sorry about this word, but it's true.
We've had plenty of Danish words on the
podcast. Yeah, we have some Portuguese this time. It's okay.
It's totally the slogan of this EHF Euro. Dream, win, remember. I don't think we will ever forget this. Ever. Ever.
Because I was saying it to the guys during the game when we were watching it. Actually, it was directly afterwards. And I said, it looked like these guys have been doing this forever. The way they won. There was nothing about this that was a fluke or lucky tournament. This was like, they were like, they've been doing this for, they're veterans at this. And that's the most unusual thing, I think, for most people, of how good they look when they're winning. It's not they're winning by one or two, but they won like today, like they're world champions.
You know, I remember the games in the qualification where we were up ahead against Romania and Lithuania, and at a given time against Romania, we were winning by 5, but you could feel, you could sense the fear, you know, the sense of letting that 5-goal lead go slip away. In these matches against France, Bosnia, Sweden, although I was nervous, but I actually felt really calm. And I think that's what the biggest expression that they have is this calmness, you know? Aside from the game from Norway, because, well, 9,000 people, home team, Norway, Sagosson, Jesus, you know? Aside from that game, all the 3 matches that we won, you could sense coming from the players this tranquility when we're doing that. You're like playing 7-6, playing defense 3-3, playing 5-1, playing 3-2-1, you know? Like, it's like you said, they've been doing this all their life.
I mean, every team can have 7 good players. And I think a lot of teams can have 7 good players and they fade after 40 minutes. But I think what's surprising for a lot of people is the bench that Portugal have. And I mean, before today, I would have said João Ferraz was one of the weakest players, and then he comes out and he's just like a douche.
4 times in the first 7 minutes.
Unstoppable. That's yeah, and but you remember when it was against Bosnia, I think, and even against France, he started playing, and you go like, okay, this guy is a loose cannon. It's kind of like he's not. It's kind of like the weak link or the link that is not part of the team, you know. And today, like I said, he goes, shoots 4 times. This two of the best goalkeepers in the whole world, yeah. Just seeing them, wah, you know, like, wah. And you go like, what the hell is going on? And then he comes in the second half where everything was almost decided. And he's just like, ah, I'll just give it 2 more. Ba-ba!
Alex, just after the game, you asked me, were they playing 7-on-6? That's how seamless it was. That's how seamless it was, because it didn't look like... Yeah, Sweden scored 1 or 2 open goals, and Nielsen missed one. But for the most part, it was as if, you know, there was a goalkeeper there the whole time. Yeah. Quintana got back the entire time, and the defense. You said about all the different formations there, but the pure aggression. They really did not give Sweden an inch. In attack, they wanted to rip their heads off.
Brian said to me, is it Ferreira? Is he an absolute genius? Is that why they're like this?
The coach, Paul?
The coach.
Yeah. I don't, I remember the first press conference with France and the guy getting mistaken as the name because we changed the official. So official A is actually our assistant coach, Paul Fidalgo, and official B is Paulo Pereira, the coach. And the guy goes like, so right now we have the coach from Portugal, Paulo Fidalgo, and he turns away and he goes like, did you really mistaken the coach name that just beat France? And you feel like, okay, this is arrogance right there. But at the same time, it's something that you need. It's like this confidence, you know? And for him, it's like, okay, I have confidence in my players. I have confidence in my tactics. I know there's this gap in this defense, and I'm going to open it. I'm going to take it all the way there. And he does that. And you could see that against Sweden. At a given time, the 7-6, and even the 6, just the normal playing, we were ripping them apart. Like, Magalhães is a left back, but he has this center back mentality. So he's usually the guy for 7-6. Because he knows when to pass the ball, and you saw the 2 passes that he did from left back to the wing, to the right wing. He knows when he has to put it on the line player, he knows when he has to come back, and he knows when he has to shoot. And you have like 2 guys like this, so it's Rui Silva and Magalhães, and you're playing against 6 guys. Of course you're going to open spaces, of course you're going to rip them. This is, I don't know, It's something unspeakable. You have to watch it, you know? You have to watch it many times and see, okay, now I get it. Because if you start saying, oh, you played like this did the cross, blah, blah, blah. Some of the times they're doing crosses just because they want to take away, they want to create an illusion that this guy is going there. But at the given time, we're playing... Always playing in the second with the line player there, open the space, if not for the right back or to the left back, always for the center back. And if that doesn't work, wing, easy. It's kind of like you always have 3 choices to pass and go for goal.
When we were coming into today's game, I was thinking, look, they've beaten France in a European Championship. That's massive. They've beaten Bosnia and did a good first half against Norway. You know, good, really good tournament. They've now got the main round. They've overachieved. And they're coming against Sweden, who are the finalists last time out. And a lot of people were tipping Sweden to make it to the final again or maybe win it. And I was thinking, they're not really. I don't think they're good. I think they're probably going to run out of steam today and maybe lose by 5, maybe. That's what I was thinking. And I think I've been to a lot of tournaments now, seen a lot of games. But I don't think I've ever been so...
Dumbfounded.
Dumbfounded, yeah. By what I was seeing in front of me. I was just like, I said to you after the game, that was like a dream, what we were watching. It was like, nah, you were seeing it as well. You're like, there were 3 up and you're like, huh, things are going okay. And then all of a sudden there were 5, 6, 7 and it was just bizarre is the word to describe it, I think.
Unimaginable. Never, ever.
But it's happening.
But it's happening. and I'm so proud and honored. I'm proud of my boys. Some of them I used to play against. Some of them I saw them grow. And I'm honored to be one witness of this amazing feat of the Portuguese handball.
Beautiful way to finish. And there's a long way to go. Three more games. The dream is becoming a reality. They are becoming real contenders. Marcio Menino, Dr. Handball, thank you. I have a feeling it won't be the last time you're on this podcast during this championship.
Thank you for having me.
Marcio called it a dream, and we talked to Antonio Areia, who told us how the dream is becoming a reality for them.
Well, how do you keep on doing it?
How? I think dreaming. I said one time that it's good to be with the feet on the ground, but never stop dreaming. And we came here with maybe the hardest game, because against Sweden at home, I don't know how many 12,000 spectators here, and you don't just win by one or two, you make like 10 goals in difference, and we show like how do we play and how can we play so great handball, and that's the most important feeling and amazing feeling for everybody in the handball world to know how do we play.
And you were brought down a little bit back to earth against Norway. How did you recover as a team? Did you keep dreaming?
I can say that with a team like us, it's easy to recover, because we win against France and then we win against Bosnia, and we are in the main round because France will lose against Norway. So we knew that's important game against Norway, but we lose, and we are not the worst guys when we lose, and we are not the best when we make great results. So we start to try to make a little bit humble to come here and to make a step for the next level. And that's what we do with our feet on the ground, stay humble, and then we work hard. So it's show to everybody what happened.
Talk to me about the tactical approach, because in attack it looked as fluent as ever, but in defense it looked like, well, first of all, you had a system to shut them down. It looks like you set up a lot of traps in the backcourt, but also how much of that was just pure determination?
Yes, our defense now, it's I think it's amazing, with the great help for Quintana and the other goalkeeper Humbert. Our goalkeepers are amazing, and that's easier for them if we make the good defense. And we have the center in defense really, really strong with the two Cuban Portuguese guys. And the 2 seconds who works a lot, and they are fast, and try to put pressure on the backs. And with this team, they are big, and they are maybe a little strategy to make them away from our goal. And then we work hard, and we are faster than them. And then when we made a mistake, the goalkeeper are there to save us, though. So I think it's perfect now. So
it's hard to say now that it's right after the game, but it must take the not just the confidence, but the belief or the realization that you can hit this next level. It makes it a lot more real now. The dream is becoming a reality.
Yeah, that's what you say. It's a lot more real now. At the beginning, we are here. It's something new, and we are a little bit, whoa, what is this? An European championship, and but we are not afraid, and we have to show how do we play. And now, with the two wins and one lose, but now win against Sweden at home in the main round, why not to dream a little bit more? But with the conscience that we will be really, really hard the next games, and it's only the special teams get there. So we hope that we are there, but step by step, no rush.
You certainly look like you belong. Congratulations.
Yes, I think so. Thank you.
There was another huge performance on the night, and that was Norway's victory over Hungary. And that was not a slow burner. That was finished after 15 minutes. They really flew out of the blocks there, and it just proved their dominance, really. Right, Brian?
Yeah, I'm exhausted. I can't even...
do you remember what happened?
I've no memories of the Norway game now.
And I'd say Hungary want to have no memories of those first 15 minutes where it was 8-2.
But yeah. I think my brain is like, that was so unremarkable. Just forget about it. You're not going to remember that game in 10 years' time, but you will remember the Portuguese game for the rest of your life.
I'll tell you what. Know? Alex Gulesh had a chat with Goran Sugar just after the game, and they gave a nice overview of what happened.
Congratulations on the win.
Thank you.
You came out lightning fast in that game. Was that particularly a tactic of the team today?
Yeah, it was our tactic today because Hungary is a physical strong team, but we are lighter, we are faster, and we knew that they're going to be tired if we had the same tempo in 60 minutes, and they were tired, so that's why we are winning so clearly today.
And obviously it's very difficult to keep up that intensity, and yeah. Hungary came back at one moment. How do you build back up that intensity as a team?
Yeah, it's pretty hard because we are using a lot of power to keep the intensity up for 60 minutes, and the 10 first minutes of the second half they are coming back with easy goals, but we are just taking a timeout and readjusting our defense, and it's working good.
So was defense also a big focus? To kickstart that intensity?
Yeah, of course, because our tactic was to run them tired, to make easy counter goals, and it all begins in the defense.
And you personally had a great game, and you've grown as the tournament has gone on. Has the success of the team given you that confidence?
Yeah, but the first two games was really hard for me because it didn't run so well. But I played a good game against Portugal, and I think I was even better today. So hopefully I will even be better the next couple of games.
Norway with maximum points from all their games, alongside another team which have had a great tournament, Slovenia. They've also won all their games. Coming into the tournament, they had a change of coach very close to the start of the tournament itself. A man who, in many people's eyes, is one of the best coaches in the world. And we sat down with him day after Slovenia's victory over Iceland. And we talked about many things. We talked about why he took on this job as Slovenia coach, the short time frame he had to get them ready, and looking ahead to the Hungary game. Here is Lubomir Vranjes. So do you think, I mean, you only got the job in December, do you think that's been a benefit at all, that you've had such a short time with the team to get to keep it simple in a way?
Yeah, probably. I thought about it before, and before starting, and it was like, yeah, what can you do, you know, yeah, in such a short time. So decided to do some small things with the defense, and had a dialogue with the players about the attack, and if you have such good and experienced players, I decided to let them take some decisions as well.
And how long did you think about the decision
About taking the job? But it was, first of all, it
was it a difficult decision? Yeah, did you feel a bit of risk?
A risk, yeah. I thought about that as well. I mean, I've been in situations where I have to think about who I'm working with, what kind of people, and so I really need to think about every aspect of the job, what it comes with it. And I did think about it a lot.
Slovenia must be nice people then, so if you took the job.
That was a plus. The other plus was that I know the language. Yeah. I didn't want to take any more jobs where I can't communicate and in the language, Slovenian or Swedish or whatever, German I can as well. But I mean, it's really important for me to have that.
So do you think that was a problem with the Hungarian team when you had them, that you there was a bit of a miscommunication?
I know.
You do know?
I don't think. Yeah, that was one of the problems, yeah.
You signed, was it a 4.5-year contract with for this deal?
Yeah.
Is that right? So that must have been quite a sign of their faith in you as well, because, as you said, it was such a... It wasn't the much time to make the decision, I guess. I don't know how the dialogue was, but... Coming for both sides, saying let's make this long-term commitment, must have made you feel like, okay, there's something I can definitely build here for the next 4 years.
Yeah, that was also the plus, on the plus side. We didn't talk about that before, but there are some in the contract, there are some ways out for the both of us. Right. So that's not you can say that kind of contract. But still, they Paris 2024 was the main goal, and that I saw a lot of potential in the players and the squad. They won the 2018, they won the U20. So that was also a good thing for me. So it was a lot of things what I had to consider, but a lot of things was plus as well. Minus something, but I talked to my family, of course, first. That was the first question. And then I explained to my wife and my kids that it's not... It's a good team. It's good players, good team, and the people are good. So then they said yes.
And it's an unusual team, really. I mean, you have an unusual pool of players compared to other national teams. And I think a lot of people like to make the comparison that it's similar to your style of play when you were playing.
Yeah, it's similar. It's how I want to play handball. I like it, but I also have. My style in my maybe attack, but I mean I really have some big players there, so I can defend how I want to, and that's nice. Today you have to have a good defense and goalkeepers to win games, and then attack, of course. I don't have to explain 10 times what they have to do, so that's really nice. I explain once and then they do that once, and then they create something by themselves.
So you give them a lot of freedom then?
Yeah, I do. I did change the structure, so they now they have some beginnings, a structure how I want to play in defense and attack. Defense is more they have to do what I say. Yeah. but in the attack, yeah, we have some structure, and then after that they are free. Yeah, I want to let them play free.
And the defense yesterday was fantastic as well. He really shut down the long range shooting of the Icelandic team, and he mentioned the big players there, and they really threw their weight around. But in attack, we spoke to Dejan Bombach after the game yesterday. Kind of he got the feeling pretty early on, based on the Icelandic defense, that he was going to have a good time. You know, he had a lot of freedom in and around 8-9 meters, and when you've got players like that and facing a defense like that, you must be licking your lips.
Yeah, I mean. That they didn't change anything, you know. So they went on with the same defense as they always had, and of course for players like Bombac, Sarabets, and also Ocvik, it's not bad for them. Yeah. So. They can have a bad day, but I had three of them. So, so that's I was pretty positive that we should have some success with against the defense. Yes.
And when you selected the squad for this tournament, were you thinking a bit more long term in your selections, or were you more focused on this tournament?
No, I was focused on this tournament. Mm. So the 28 squad I didn't pick up. That wasn't me. So I had some questions, of course, how they thought about from the beginning. And then, I mean, we have also really good right-handed players, a lot. You know, that was also a problem. So it's not a problem. It's a good problem. It's a good problem. But. No, I only thought, and I wanted to also. We came to Sweden with 18 players, and I wanted to learn how they are as players, but also as human beings. You know, so that's why, because we have a long journey ahead of us. So I wanted to know them as well personally, how they take in the team. When we don't play, so I get a all-around feeling for this.
you've beaten Sweden in your hometown, Gothenburg, and now you're going to be playing against Hungary, your old job, basically. What are your thoughts going into that Hungarian game now?
We are analysing that right now. My thought is, they play good. They won against Russia. They won against Iceland. They played a draw against Denmark. So it's a really good team. Good defense. Young players. They have some power there. They will. They do mistakes, of course. But everybody does. So, no. My thought is, as we played until now, we take one game at a time. 100%. On one opponent, all concentrations on that, and then we will see.
Yeah, because it's a different team to the team that you were involved with, really. There's a lot more new names in there.
Yeah, there are three guys, maybe they're different. Leka is injured, and Richie as well. So that's two great players. I think they have a really interesting team for the future.
Being here in Sweden for the championship, and for Sweden themselves, is not going so wonderfully at the moment, but for you, going beautifully. So are you getting any kind of flashbacks or any kind of nostalgia to 2002 and that the very successful championship at home?
Yeah, of course. When we played in Gothenburg against Sweden, you know, with the crowd and the national song and so on, you got some flashbacks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did. But it's a different, of course. I'm much older.
Different.
I'm much older and had a lot of different experiences as player and as coach since then. So, it's that was also a thing that I didn't want to miss. You know, when I took the job, I was like, okay, should I do this? I had a really good time now in Kristianstad. Mm-hmm. Sweden, I wanted to go back home, but I missed something. In the moment, on the last 1.5 years, I have a lot of energy. So I go back to that. I don't know when I was in Flensburg from the beginning. I didn't have this much energy since then. You know, so I like to work and. I didn't want to miss a European Championship in my home country and then in my hometown. Okay. The minus was Sweden.
Yeah.
that I played against Sweden. That was mine, but it was in the group phase. So, they were the favorites. So it was like, okay, I take that.
But looking at your face though, when right after the game, when the camera was focused on you,
okay,
it looked like a real, I guess, like, clash of emotions. Do you recall what was going through your head after?
It was a mixture of a lot of feelings, you know. It was a good feeling, of course, winning. I was really happy for the guys. They did a great job. Sweden was then, of course, they had everything. They played really good before. So they had a really good confidence as well in that game. But also it was a sad feeling, not because of the winning, because of the whole situation. So it was a mixture of a lot of feelings.
Yeah.
I have to be honest, it was like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you're the only one left in the final weekend, you'll have all of Sweden behind you.
I don't know. I don't know.
Too early to say that.
one game at a time. One game at a time.
Perfect. Lubo, thank you very much for your time.
No problem at all.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you, Lubo, for the chat. Of course, the action doesn't stop just yet. Tonight, the 18th of January, we have Belarus versus Czech Republic, Spain versus Austria, Croatia versus Germany. Chris O'Reilly, give me your quick predictions. Who's going to win these games tonight?
Oh, Belarus, Spain and Croatia.
Croatia. It's going to be
a cracker.
Yeah, that last game is going to be a very, very good one. We're all looking forward to it here at the Handball Hour. I think that's all for today, Chris, huh?
It is indeed, and you'll hear from us in a couple of days' time.
And as they say in Portugal,
ciao.
Beautiful.